hello and welcome to Grace in Focus, Thursday edition. Now, yesterday, if you listened to the show, you will have noticed that we didn't completely finish our discussion. Our discussion about whether or not faith can really be faith, even if it doesn't have works that go along with it. And so we're going to continue that discussion in our question and answer format. If you've got questions, by the way, you can send them to us. Our email is radio@faithalone.org, and we'll do our best to get to those on air. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome back to Grace in Focus. We are continuing a question that we started answering last episode from Vernon, who was making an argument for Calvinism, Reformed view, that true faith doesn't just believe in Jesus, it also produces works and it endures until the end. And he cited a number of verses that he thought demonstrated that true faith produces good works and perseveres until the very end. In last episode, we talked about Hebrews 10:39.
Right. Now, before we get to the next couple of passages, let me say one of the problems with what is going on here is that you have to bypass all of the clear passages of Scripture in order to come up with this doctrine. Because John 3:16 says nothing about perseverance. It's just whoever believes in him.
Yeah.
John 11:26 says, whoever lives and believes in him shall never die. And that's talking about everlasting life. He's never die spiritually. Well, that means, Sean, if today you're alive, which you are, and you believe in Jesus, which you do, then I know you'll never die spiritually.
Yeah.
Whether you persevere or not. So now let's go to the Luke 8 passage.
All right, Luke chapter 8. This is the parable of the four soils. It's in 9 to 15. Jesus tells the parable, and then he explains it to his disciples. So in verse 9, it says, then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
Okay, now hang on. That is the key. Notice every one of these four either directly refers to the word of God or alludes to the word of God. So we're going to see four responses to the word of God.
Right.
Okay, go.
Those by the wayside are the ones who hear.
They hear the word.
Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of
their
hearts.
The word, notice it's there. All right.
Lest they should believe and be saved.
Okay, so what happens if they believed the word?
You're saved.
Okay, and what kind of salvation is this talking about?
Well, you know, that's usually a question for us, but it seems like this is probably one of the rare uses of eternal salvation, right?
Right, I would say it is, because it wouldn't make sense that this is talking about being saved from some sort of judgment in this life or whatever. This is talking about someone having everlasting life, like John 3:17. Mm-hmm. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved.
Right.
And that salvation looks back at John 3:16, which is having everlasting life. So, note, what does it take to be saved according to verse 12?
Believe and be saved. Just believe.
Okay, so if a person believes, when do they get saved?
Right then.
Okay, and how long does the salvation last?
Well, we know from other verses that it's everlasting.
Right, so therefore, verse 12 denies the idea that perseverance is required.
Right.
Okay, let's go on.
But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. So it seems like receiving and believing are parallel here. Receiving is a metaphor for believing.
Right.
And we know that if you believe, you're saved.
Right. Now notice the word believe only occurs in two of the four soils. The first soil doesn't believe and is not saved. Now the second one believes for a time and then falls away.
Right.
So a lot of people interpret verse 12 to say they believe, but what Vernon would want us to think is that they were not saved. They believed, but they weren't saved, and then they fell away, proving they weren't saved. But if you go back and look at verses 6, 7, and 8, we find that some fell on the rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered because it lacked moisture. Well, notice it sprang up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a reference to the new birth.
Okay.
The seed germinated. You can't have it springing up. And verse 7 also says the thorns sprang up with it. And verse 8 says the seed in the good ground sprang up. So the telling of the parable shows that the difference between soils 1, 2, 3, and 4 is 1 didn't spring up and 2, 3, and 4 did spring up. So 1 represents the person who's not saved and 2, 3, and 4 represent the person who's saved. And in soil 2, this is the person who is saved once and for all.
Yeah.
You notice it says they believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Actually, Calvin, I think, developed the idea of temporary faith from this. So there is a Calvinist view that says if you believe for a time and fall away, you didn't really believe, you just had temporary faith.
Okay.
Well, according to verse 12, all it takes is faith. The moment you believe, you're saved forever.
And you're saying in the original telling of the parable, the seed germinates and a plant springs up. And you're saying since Jesus explains the seed is the word of God, and
yes,
if you believe, you get saved, that believing and getting saved, that's the image of the seed germinating and a plant springing up.
That's exactly right.
So if we read in the parable that something sprang up, that's illustration of someone has believed and they're saved.
Right. And once it springs up, it can't unspring up. I mean, life has already started. In fact, it started before it broke the surface.
Right.
Once it germinated, life had already started. It's like conception is when a human life begins,
yeah,
but birth is when it springs up. Right,
right? But they're still alive.
But
and
they've
still
been
human
alive during those 9 months.
Birth.
Yeah.
And so what's interesting now is springing up isn't even the focus of the parable.
No.
The focus is going to be what this plant that has sprung up produces.
And the focus is, as I mentioned at the beginning, what each of the four soils does with the word of God.
Right.
First soil rejects it, doesn't believe it, is not saved. Second soil believes it, is born again, is saved, but does not continue. We're not told how long they believe, by the way.
Right.
So this parable allows for someone who might believe for hours, days, months,
right,
years, or decades.
So this,
but they eventually fall away.
So this second soil, they fall away in times of temptation. Like,
right.
So they're enticed to sin.
Or doctrinal temptation.
Or doctrinal
either
temptation.
Way.
Okay.
Or both.
But now there's a third option. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So the assumption is that it did spring up, that it grew alongside these thorns.
Right.
But then they're choked, not with being enticed to sin, but they are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. So what is that?
Well, I would say the cares, riches, and pleasures of life are not sinful things, but they're things which can distract us and cause us to be less productive. So cares could be a financial woes, physical woes, family woes, things like that, governmental woes,
sure,
right? And then riches would be riches,
yeah,
because riches can cause us to stumble.
Yeah.
If we focus on the riches and we're trying to have riches, they become a snare.
Well, I was talking to some, maybe this is an illustration of this. I was talking to a man who was like, I wanted to be a missionary, but I just wanted to make sure I had a good retirement fund first, and I'd be a missionary later in life.
Right.
Well, he's 65 plus now, and he's just missed out 40 years of potential service to the Lord.
And he's thinking of going now, right?
Right. You know, have you been choked out? I mean, has your ministry been choked out because of cares for riches?
Well, hopefully he's been serving Christ for these 40 years. But if he's just been waiting to serve Christ until he gets enough money, then that's foolish. But the third thing is pleasures of life, which I take it does not refer to sinful pleasures, but just things like golfing or hunting or
right,
fishing or watching sports on TV.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with the pleasures of life. But if you spend too much time with the pleasures of life, or too much time focusing on riches or making riches, or too much time with your cares,
yeah,
then that's going to choke out your effectiveness. Notice the third soil doesn't actually mention they believe.
Right.
But obviously they do. Each soil is better than the previous one.
Right.
So the third soil believes and perseveres to the end.
Right.
But its effectiveness is not what it could be. It doesn't say they bring forth no fruit. It says they bring forth no fruit to maturity.
So this is basically a picture of my garden this past summer.
Yes, it is. I hate to say
I had
it,
a lot of itty-bitty little somethings that never grew into like the full-blown thing.
You're right.
And so that's a picture of our Christian life, or it can be, for this third soil. It's like, oh, you were almost there. It's like maybe you just developed almost a gift of teaching, but then you just kind of let it go by the wayside and or what?
Yeah, now I would say this person is someone who's going to rule with Christ, so I think it's a little more than almost there. I do think they'll rule. I think this corresponds to the second servant in the parable of the minas in Luke 19. Luke 19:19, you also be over five cities. Mm. He doesn't hear well done. He doesn't hear you be over 10 cities, which right. is Luke 19:17. But anyway, I think that's this. But we better go to the fourth soil because we're running.
Yeah, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So you keep it not to stay saved or stay a plant or whatever, but it's to bear fruit. You
right.
keep it to bear mature fruit.
And notice it's the word again. And in the third soil, although it doesn't specifically mention the word, it talks about hearing, and the word is choked out. It's not as effective. And so it's the word in each of the four soils that's the key.
Yeah.
And here, they receive the word, and they are the ones who are applying the word. And they're doing well. They heard the word with a noble and good heart. That's what we all need. Because if we have a receptive heart, then we're going to produce much fruit. And we're going to bear fruit with patience. Patience is the idea of endurance. It's the word hupomone, which means endurance. So here's your perseverance. So,
but it's
yes,
perseverance not to prove that you're saved or not to have final salvation. It's perseverance to be fruitful.
And to hear the Lord's approval. Remember Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27 feared that he might be disapproved? All believers should fear that we wouldn't be approved to rule and to reign.
Right.
But it seems to me the parable of four soils works exactly against what this questioner is asking
right.
about.
The parable
clearly shows it's a free gift by faith alone, apart from works.
Right. And the plants that die don't have to question themselves. Was I ever really a plant at all?
Right.
That's just not what's happening here. This is about fruitfulness. It's about reward.
Right. And when the plant withers, that is a reference to the effectiveness of the plant being choked out. It's not a reference to losing everlasting life, because that can't happen, or proving it never had it in the first place, because that can't happen.
Well, I hope that answers your question. Keep on sending them to us, radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know where you're from, what you're struggling with, what's on your mind, and what you'd like to learn more about in the Word of God.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about whether repentance is necessary for baptism, so tune in. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.